we're going to look at, I call this No Good Thing. Psalm 84. Actually a little bit reversed to what we're going to look at. In Psalm 84. I'm just going to read this psalm from where this title comes. Paul, would you be blessed to read?
Yeah.
Nice and loud, verses 8 through 12, please.
8 through 12. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee.
A great, great section, eh?
No good thing.
No good thing. It says that God will not withhold any good thing from his people. It is not in God's nature. Goodness is God's nature. It is not in his nature to withhold good from his people. Many times, you know, people have a problem believing this truth. You know, there's a lot of various reasons why people might believe it. You know, probably one of the most more common ones is that people think that I'm not worthy. You know, I haven't achieved enough that, and I can't possibly accept the goodness of God's goodness because I haven't earned it. You know, or I've not done enough, or whatever the reason is. People, you know, in the back of our minds, sometimes there's a nagging doubt that this is true. You know, that we need to earn it somehow. And here, the one thing it does say here in verse 11, which we have to pay heed to, is from them that walk uprightly. You know, if we tell our kids, I will always bless you, and I will, you know, take care of you, I will be good to you. And then they go off and they take a hammer and hit their hand with a hammer all day. Well, you know, they didn't really walk uprightly what I told them to do. But as long as we walk with him and listen to him, it's all goodness. You know, a lot of times you hear people in the world. I had an opportunity to witness to a couple of guys last week in our company, an older gentleman and a young gentleman. It was pretty neat because the older guy was probably pretty set in his ways, but he was asking a lot of good questions that the young guy could benefit from. So I had a great opportunity, but a lot of the questions had to do with, well, all this stuff in the Old Testament and how angry and going on, and you know, and people have that image of God, but the only time God did that was when he was taking care of his people. You know, those who would try to hurt his people, God would do that. The same thing as we as a father or mom or would do whatever they could to take care of their children. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody in the world would ever say for a father to protect his children by getting rid of the threat in any way he possibly could that he was an evil person, would they? But when God does that, they call him an evil God. Yeah. You know, well, that's people. That's not what God's word. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. God's word is very different. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 24. And we read, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good. Always. And he didn't do it to impose a restriction on man, say, well, you know, let's see what you can do. He did it for our good. You know, a lot of times we even, and I've heard it, you know, we sometimes we'll make fun of the law or we'll say something about the law. But the Bible says the law is holy and just and good because it came from a holy and just and good God. You know, if you read the New Testament, several places it talks about how, why was the law given? To help Israel walk in love. Remember it says the love is the fulfilling of the law. Yeah, it accomplished other things too, like pointing out sin. You know, so to show man that he could not do it on his own. There's other things it did, but it was good because it came from a good God. And he does it for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And this is Israel, but that truth is still true. God gives us instruction and wisdom for our good always because he's a good God. Look at Joshua chapter 21, please. Joshua 21. Everything, and if you look at the history of God, as if God has a history, but you know, bear with me for a minute. If I was to limit it to say that God has a history, you know, what is God's history? Everything that God made was good and very good. You know, that's what God made. Everything was good and very good. He actually gave Adam the knowledge of good. Mm-hmm. He didn't give him the knowledge of evil. Who gave him the knowledge of evil? Evil. The adversary. But what God was giving him was good. God is a good God. There's a theme right throughout God's Word that runs in various books. It's in various sections where people will say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." It's all throughout the Word. No, many different people have said the same. Give thanks for his, he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Let the saints rejoice in goodness. A lot of the times the songs you hear, you know, Moses' song or Miriam's song, these songs, they praise God for his goodness. You know, Ezra and Nehemiah, the books, there's very, a lot of times you see the phrases that the good hand of my God upon me. You know, think upon me for good, O God. You know, it's a constant theme that God is good. He led Israel to an exceeding good land. Right? One that floweth with milk and honey. When Israel was at the edge of that good land, right? Because that's what he told them, it's a good land. The spies went out and came back and said, it's not a good land, right? So who was it that was opposing God's goodness? Man. And man has this tendency, the same way God's nature is good, there seems to be a tendency in man to reject God's goodness or to counteract God's goodness. And that result, because they didn't walk uprightly, they spent 40 years trying to learn the lesson of how to walk uprightly because they just didn't accept his goodness. He said it's exceeding good land. In Joshua chapter 21, verse 43. Paul, if you'll read verses 43 to 46 for me. 45, please.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. And there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass.
What a great scripture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not one thing of any good thing that God had promised to his people failed. All came to pass. There's a very interesting record in 1 Kings 14. 1 Kings 14. Remember, we're looking at God's goodness. And it's a very different way to think about God a lot of time because a lot of people don't believe in God's goodness. They think he's angry or mean or, you know, judgmental and trying to hurt us, and wow, it's not so at all, is it? In 1 Kings 4, this is interesting, right? Verse 1, at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam was not good. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Abijah, the prophet which told me that I should be king over this people. And Patrick, could you read verses 3 to 6, please?
And take with thee 10 loaves and... what's that?
Cracknels.
Cracknels, okay. And call and a cruse of honey, and go with him, and he shall tell thee what shall become of the child. And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose, and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. And Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask thee a thing of thee, for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be, when she cometh in, that she shall frame herself to be another woman.
Ephesians verses 6 through 8, please.
And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why faintest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go to Jeroboam. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes.
But hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. So this guy has not walked uprightly at all. In fact, he's one of the templates in the Bible of one who doesn't walk properly or uprightly. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it. Arise thou therefore, and get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. And look at this verse. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel and the house of Jeroboam.
Wow. Oh.
I can't really understand that verse very well. He's a child. And yet, God, who is good, says, "Everybody, all the rest of you, but in this child, I see some good thing." Man, God's nature is goodness, isn't it? He's only good. And he was able to see something. And what that means, you know, God is a just God. He will decide. It's hard, unbelievably, in the middle of all that evil, he was able to find some good thing. In Psalm 34... It's not in God's nature to frustrate us. It's not in his nature to withhold good from us. It's only man's nature that fights against God's goodness. You know, even the 23rd Psalm, which we always like to quote, surely it says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Because, you know, in that Psalm, it's when you look to God and trust God, goodness follows you. That's God. In Psalm 34, where are we? Verse 9. The wrong song. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Never. Psalm 103. And this, you know, again, there's a lot of verses about this. Psalm 103. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Sounds like a pretty good God to me. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. In Psalm 145. Verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Now we see a lot of the verses, I'm sure you can think of, you know, he causes the rain to fall on the unjust and the just, and he gives food and gladness in our hearts, and this is God. This is our God. This is his desire for man. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. So God is good. And he does not withhold any goodness from his people as we just look to him and walk uprightly according to his word. Matthew 7, verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, which we think we do, how much more shall your heavenly Father, your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You know, a lot of times people expect bad from God. They expect judgment and, you know, condemnation and things. But that's not what the Word of God says. In fact, another verse says, in him is no darkness at all, doesn't it? No, it says, in him is light, no darkness at all. You know? He gives good things to them that ask him. In this is interesting, Matthew 19. God is good. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If I will enter into life, keep the commandments. See, it's interesting that the Lord himself would not even compare himself to God's goodness. He said, why are you calling me good? You know, and I was thinking about this verse the other night, and actually last night, middle night for some reason, but think about it. When God looked upon the earth, he said, there is none good. No, not one. None, not one. And so Jesus Christ himself had to identify with all of mankind. And God says, good. He goes, why are you calling me good? He had to take all the sins of man upon himself. And yet, you know, yet Jesus Christ, was he good? Yes. Certainly he was. But he wouldn't ever compare his goodness to that of God. So God is good. Jesus Christ is good. Look at Luke chapter 2. Look briefly at Jesus Christ. All right, look at this just to, you know, to remind ourselves when we look to God to expect goodness from him. You know, don't expect condemnation or, you know, he hasn't dealt with us according to our sins, has he? Thank God. So we expect good things. In Luke chapter 2, verse 9, this is the birth of Christ. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Fittingly, there was no snow then, never mind. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. See, the birth of Jesus Christ brought good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The birth of Jesus Christ brought good tidings and goodwill toward men. And it only makes sense, makes good sense, you might say, because who sent them? God, who is good. God's goodness. And out of his goodness, the best he knew to do to bless mankind was to give Jesus Christ for the sake of all men. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus Christ called himself the Good Shepherd. When Jesus Christ walked around the earth, did he do any good works?
Few.
He did, yeah, a few. Just a few.
More than two.
More than two. Did he make people sick?
No.
No.
But you know what? You would think, you know, when people say things like, you know, well, God makes you sick or does this to humble you, well, that's not a good God. I would never do that to my children. And I'm not, you know, we're just being evil, right? You know how to give good gifts. Would you make your child sick and teach them a lesson? You know. The fact that people even say that nauseates me. Mm. You know, God is good. He's a good God. He did this to bless his man, his people. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, for he hath sent me to crush the brokenhearted, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance, healing, deliverance, recovering of sight, liberty to them that are bruised. You want to talk about words, you know, that represent or show you just how good God is? Jesus Christ always did the Father's will. Deliverance, blessing, healing, recovering of sight. That is a good God. And it says in Acts also, Jesus Christ went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. In Romans chapter 2. So this theme of God being good is pervasive to the scriptures, as you might expect. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Right. And Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners. You know, what kind of a God does that? We didn't deserve any of it. We were yet sinners. Christ died for us, it says. Is that a good God? Oh my goodness. Like, he had his Son die for us when we least deserved it. So why would we ever think after the fact, after that truth that happened, that now he would withhold any good thing from us, when he gave us the greatest gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we least deserved it? So now, how much more, says in the Word, how much more shall he not bless us now that that's been done? You know, expecting God's goodness. In Ephesians chapter 1, there's a lot more about his goodness, but just a few verses. Ephesians 1, verse 9. That having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And in Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship. You know, look what he did according to his good pleasure. He blessed us with all these. It says later he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace later on to us. This is our inheritance. This is where the church is going. Right? It's way beyond a heavenly city. It's in the heavenlies. He's going to show the riches of his grace. In fact, all this he did to show those guys in the principalities the great wisdom that he had in doing this, to bless us. And he's a good God. Jesus Christ was good. The things that was good. And look what he tells us to do now in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, and I have heard this verse taught that it's built upon the good works of Jesus Christ. I don't think that's what it says, but I'll let you look at it in more detail. God is good. Jesus Christ is good. Jesus Christ went about doing good. And now, created in Christ, he's called us also to do good works. Not that we get saved by those good works. That was all done when we least deserved it. It's after, now, the walk that we're supposed to exhibit. In James chapter 1. A couple more verses here. Yeah, we spend a lot of time talking about God's goodness. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's a beautiful figure of speech. And that has to do with the light cast by heavenly bodies on the earth. When one heavenly body is spinning around another, that light, as the sun moves, the body moves, that shadow moves around the earth. That's that shadow of turning. And it's constantly changing. God is not constantly changing. There's no variableness. He is steadfast in his ability and blessing to give man every good gift and every perfect gift. He is steadfast in his love towards man. I just want to close by thinking a little bit about the manifestations of Holy Spirit. You know, everything that God does for his people is good. Right? He's a good God. You know, this is a really complicated teaching, I know. God is good. How about the manifestations of Holy Spirit? Are they good? Is it a good thing? Is speaking in tongues a good thing? Might even say it's a great thing. Absolutely. Why would God give it? And have you ever heard anybody in the world say that we shouldn't speak in tongues? Have you ever heard anybody in the world say tongues is finished? Yes. It's the same thing. They're on the edge of the promised land, and God says it's a good land. They said, no, it's not. The Word of God says he gave tongues so we could get blessed, edified, built up in the Spirit, so we could, you know, magnify God. We could speak the wonderful works of God, and it goes, you know, so many wonderful blessings, and yet man turns around and says, well, it's, don't need that. It's exactly, die with the apostles and prophets. Interpretation and prophecy, and we just looked at that in detail a few weeks ago. Are they good things? Do you think it's a good thing to be edified, comforted, built up? It's kind of silly to ask the question, but it's interesting that, you know, the way the world looks on these things. How about a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits? Do you think that is good information that we need? Absolutely. Everything that God gives is for good. You know, faith, miracles, healing. Why would God make somebody sick? He wouldn't make anybody sick. It's gifts of healing. It's a blessing. The deliverance is a blessing. Miracles. You need a miracle in life. It's a blessing to get a miracle. It's a good thing. You know, these are all good things coming from a good God who does good for His people. And you know, and a lot of times we still have trouble accepting it. I don't know. Maybe we don't think about it enough, or you know, we might just back up in our mind and say, I don't know. You know, maybe I need to earn a little bit of that. Maybe I need to read God's word more. You know, reading God's word more is a good thing. Yeah, we all agree with that. But I guarantee you, it does not improve your salvation any. It does not improve how God already thinks about you. It does not improve your hope. He's still coming back. You know. So, you know, we should, you know, I was looking at this, just, you know, I was thinking about it the other night. I was like, wow, you know, sometimes God is so good to us, and yet we tend to just back up a little bit and say, well, I'm okay. You know, if you'll just do this much for me, God is so, He just wants to give everything, every gift, everything is perfect, everything wonderful thing comes from Him, you know. And man, you see it right through, you know. I was reading records where they heal the guy and they're filled with madness, or, you know, someone gets, you know, religion is not a good thing. Religion fights against the goodness of God. You know, man constantly fights against His goodness. You know, you tell somebody, well, you make Jesus your Lord and you have eternal life, you go, ah, you know, that's too easy. No, you see, the world doesn't see how good God is. That He is a good God and loves His people. So, no good thing will God deny from us. Yeah. So, God bless.